This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Have major life expenses? Using a credit card can cost you an arm and a leg in interest and fees. Break up with bad credit card debt and check out a SoFi personal loan. With low fixed interest rates and absolutely no fees, a personal loan could be a great way to consolidate your hard-to-pay-off, high-interest credit card debt. A SoFi personal loan can also be used for home improvement projects, weddings, travel, moving costs, emergency expenses, whatever life throws your way. With funding ranging from $5,000 to $100,000. With a single fixed monthly payment and no fees, a SoFi personal loan is simply a smarter way to pay compared to high-interest credit cards. View your rate in 60 seconds without affecting your credit score at SoFi.com/podcast. That's SoFi.com/podcast. And get your money right. Loans originated by SoFi Bank N.A., member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS 6968968911.
It's international break, which is exciting for some, painful for others. I very much sit in the latter, but either way, we do have players on duty. So, X, tell us how the boys have been getting on for their countries.
Well, and a massive shout out to Peter Finch again, who's helped to comply this information with myself. You know, he's put it together and I've done a bit of research too.
I'm just going to go through the countries
and who's playing for whom and what the sort of outcomes of their matches are and what situation they are in terms of their World Cup qualifications as well. And this is up to date as of Sunday day. So I've added on a little bit about Spain because they played yesterday. So if we go with Algeria, where Saeed Benrahma is an international, they beat a team called Djibouti. Now I can't claim to have ever heard of that country before looking at this. So they beat them 4-0. So I can tell you if that's a good result or not. I assume it is, considering I've never heard of the country. But he scored his first goal for the national team. So big moment for him, for Benrahma. Scored his first goal for the national team in a World Cup qualifier. And it looks like they're going to be qualifying top of their group. Algeria next up for them is Burkina Faso on Tuesday in a bid to make the World Cup. So yeah, first international goal for Benrahma, which I personally think is great because he's going from strength to strength this year. Getting your first international goal is a significant moment for anyone. So that has came in their last game.
Well done, Benny.
Yeah, so over to the Czech Republic, which is like basically any West Ham fan's second nationality now with the free players and the investment and obviously the history of like Ludo and Thomas Repka and so on. So Czech Republic, they beat Kuwait 7-0. Obviously a friendly game because Kuwait's in Asia and obviously Czech Republic's in Europe. 7-0 win. Thomas Souček scored again. He played the full 90 minutes.
There is someone I would like to beat.
Yeah. I'm glad you did an impression because there's been quite a few calls for your impressions recently. So whenever you feel like dropping one in, mate, you go for it because it'll keep the listeners happy. So, even if there's not that much relevance, you know, if Nigel Benn wants to comment on a game or Chris Eubank or Matthew Kelly, just throw them in.
Well, maybe I just might.
I think you need to write down who you can actually do it. So we can almost set you up for impressions and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I know you have more in your repertoire than Nigel Penn and a few others. So
I might have to work on impressions that consist of more than four words as well.
The thing is, though, I think the four words make it better because we could just almost like take it and then just move on quickly. As if you do like a whole speech, then it kind of froze it a little bit. But,
yeah, true. Yeah, no, that's noted.
So he took a full 90 minutes, which is a little bit annoying because obviously I think Suchek's looked quite tired recently. So ideally he wouldn't have played, but he did. Vladimir Shafal also played the full 90 minutes, which I'm not so bothered about that for him because obviously he has been sort of not in the team because of injury and then because of Johnson's form. So he played the full 90 and he got an assist in that. He assisted the first goal. And then Alex Crowe came on as a sub in the 60th minute. And the next game for Czech Republic is their final World Cup qualifying game against Estonia. And already the Czech Republic have qualified for a playoff space. I don't know if that means they can't qualify automatically, but they're already in a playoff space. So another hammer scored for us, and that was in the match El Salvador versus Jamaica. I'm sure most people know who that is. So Antonio scored in the 1-1 draw after only being on the pitch for 8 minutes, and it was a really good goal. I don't know if
great
you saw
goal.
It.
Great yeah, goal.
Really good, great composure to dink it over the keeper with pressure from the defender too. At the halfway stage of qualifying, Jamaica have given themselves a bit of work to do. However, they are now unbeaten in three games and they face the USA, who are top of the group. Jamaica are 5 points behind Panama, who hold the last playoff spot. So, yeah, great goal for them. It's a shame they couldn't hold on to win. I mean, I don't really want Antonio to be playing for Jamaica at all, purely because, you know, I'm West Ham and I'm selfish and I don't want him to get injured playing for Jamaica. But if he's going to do all this travelling and all this commuting and putting himself at risk, I want it for at least to be to a benefit of actually playing in a World Cup or something for him. So I actually hope they do qualify. I mean, I'd like USA to qualify as well because obviously the fan base we've got as West Ham way and also I think football's really sort of really growing in America. So it'd be good if their national team can be consistent. But I'd also like Jamaica to get in there as well. Croatia, Nikola Vlasic, he played, he came on as a sub in the 54th minute. Didn't really contribute anything, but the game was 6-1 when he came on and it finished 7-1. So it was a bit of the game was pretty much over by the time he came on in the 54th minute. And then Croatia beat Russia 1-0, and he played 58 minutes of that game in a 1-0 win, which has seen Croatia qualify for the World Cup. So, meaning the next games for him will be in March because obviously they don't have to play the playoffs now. So, he's got a little bit of a break. Pablo Fornals has caused a bit of a storm. So, it was Greece 0, Spain 1, and Fornals came on as a substitute in that win. Played 25 minutes and Spain played yesterday and they beat Sweden, I think, and they finished top of the table to qualify for the World Cup. However, Fornals wasn't on the bench or even wasn't even in the squad, which has led there to be a lot of speculation as to whether he's injured or not. Now, some of the stories that are coming out is that his wife or his girlfriend is expecting their baby very soon. But I believe he was actually still in Spain and was at the game. So I don't think that's the reason. I think, and it's not 100% confirmed. I've tried to get it confirmed in time for this podcast, but I've only had one source come back to me. And those of you that have followed me long enough know that I never 100% say, no matter how good the source is, even if it was David Moyes, I still always go for two source confirmation. I've only had one on this, but I've been told it was a selection decision. Him and another player were just left out of the squad for a reason unbeknown, but only a selection reason and not an injury reason. So he should be available for the Wolves game. As I say, do not quote me because that's one source, but it should be available. But yeah, Spain qualified as a result of that game. France beat Kazakhstan 8-0. So Borat will be disappointed.
Fucking hell, there's been some goals in this round, haven't there?
Well, exactly, mate. This is why, honestly, I told you this off air before, but I'll share it with the listeners. Not that I'm promoting gambling, because I'm sure I'll probably get in trouble for this. But if you like the occasional flutter, as a perfectly bit of fun, and obviously you know how to control your gambling, and if you don't, there's helplines for you. However, if you like a flutter on an accumulator, the best time to do it is in the international window. I've said this to you before, mate, because games like France versus Kazakhstan, you know France are going to win that. England versus Albania or England versus San Marino, and there's so many other games. Like, you know, you can tell by the score lines I've read out. You know, I've had Croatia beat Malta 7-1. You know, Czech Republic beat Kuwait 7-0. Algeria beat whatever that team was called, 4-0. So if you do an accumulator of very odds on international games, you can rack up like 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 teams in your accumulator, including England under-21s. And whilst it's a bit more even in under-21s, you still get, you know, big nations playing little nations. And again, it's fairly obvious what the result could be. So again, I've made a decent money this weekend just from doing big accumulators with national teams. So yeah, that's the one good thing about the international windows, that I think I find it easier to do accumulators on than I do outside of that. Anyway, France 8, Kazakhstan 0, Kurt Zouma and Areola were both unused subs. France have now qualified for the World Cup, so it could mean they've got a game against Finland on Tuesday, so it could mean that Areola and Zouma may be used in that, because obviously they've already qualified, they don't need to win it, so it could be a way of giving them experience. Personally, I don't want Zouma to play in it. I'd rather he didn't play in it so that he's fit for us. I wouldn't be too bothered about Areola playing, though, because I think it's always good to get keepers playing regularly if they're not in the first team, which obviously he is in the cup for us, but not in the league. So if Areola plays on Tuesday, I'll be pleased, but rather Zouma didn't personally. But yeah, so that's the situation. Yarmolenko played in a one-all game against Bulgaria. He played the full 90 minutes. Ukraine's last qualifying game is on Tuesday as they face Bosnia. They need to win it and hope that France defeat Finland if they want to go through to the playoffs. Before the Euros, Yarmolenko promised that he would give his wages he received during the Euros to a hospital in Ukraine. And over the international break, he kept his promise.
Oh, guy. That's great. That's really nice.
So on to youth internationals.
They love him over there, by the way, didn't they?
I know he's a bit of a legend, mate. He's scored a lot of goals for them.
Hasn't he now scored more than Shevchenko for Ukraine?
Yeah, I think possibly he has. Yeah, possibly. I remember reading
phenomenal. I mean, when you look at Shevchenko, he's literally iconic for Ukraine. So for him to surpass that, and I think I'm pretty sure he's got over 100 caps for them now as well, which is unbelievable.
So. I mean, in his day, mate, I mean, certainly when he was in Germany, he was a very good player. I mean, he's shown glimpses of it at West Ham, but I think a bit like Sebastian Haller, he's just not suited to the league, really. I mean, the problem with the English league is that the pace is such a key criteria to have, particularly if you're a winger. That's predominantly what Yarmolenko is. And I just think an unpacey winger just doesn't usually work in England. And I think, sadly, that's what's been the case here. But I say sadly for us, not for him, because he's been making over 100,000 a week at West Ham. But still, I'm sure he probably would have wanted it to go a bit better. Apparently, he's a really nice guy. You know, the players at West Ham really like him. They speak very highly of him. Apparently, he gets on with all the staff. He's a really good lad and stuff. So, seems like a nice fella. And obviously, that gesture supports that. So on to youth internationals, which might be a bit more interesting because some of the people might not have known these ones. So Jamel Baptiste played for England under-19s, played 90 minutes and kept a clean sheet in a 0-0 draw with Switzerland. Devin Mbama played for England under-18s. He made his debut in a 3-2 loss to the Netherlands and was sub in the next game, not scoring in either. But he took the first penalty in the shootout and converted it, sending the keeper the wrong way. Sonny Perkins, who I've spoke about a bit recently, played for the under-18s in that game, and he scored and was sent off in a 3-2 defeat to the Netherlands, and then was the unused sub in the next game. Ajibola Elise was in the England under-20s. He played 78 minutes against Portugal, which they lost 2-0. Pierre Ekwa played for France under-20s. He played 42 minutes from the start against Germany, but he went off when they were leading 1-0. However, they without him on the pitch, they ended up losing 3-2. Christian Hegyi, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he's a very highly rated keeper for Hungary under-21s, kept a clean sheet in a 1-0 win over Latvia. People often talk about Trott and Anang as up-and-coming keepers, but I'm telling you, this keeper here, Christian Hegyi, I don't know, but when we signed him, he was wanted by many, many top clubs. I think Manchester United and Liverpool were in the mix. So the fact we got that signing was huge at the time, and I think he's definitely one to look out for. Harrison Ashby, whose birthday it was in the week, was a good lad. Harrison played 78 minutes in a 2-1 win over Kazakhstan. See, that's what I mean. If you read about the under-21s not being quite as significantly different, you know, Kazakhstan got battered by France 8-0, but Scotland could only beat them 2-1, but they still did beat them. Harrison played 78 minutes in that game. His dad used to be a professional footballer, played for Watford for a while. Ashby played for Gillingham, I think, as well. Don't know if many people know that, but yeah, his dad was a professional footballer too. And then Connor Coventry, Ireland under-21s. He starred in a 2-0 defeat to Italy. Apparently played really, really well. And obviously Italian under-21s are a stronger level than the Irish under-21s, but apparently played well in that game. Oku Flex was called up to the under-21s for the first time, but he didn't make the starting team or the bench. So that is the current state of play. Obviously England won 5-0 without Declan. Declan withdrew from the squad with a virus, but I've been assured by a number of people that he'll be fit for Saturday. The two-source rule has been confirmed for him, but not for Fornals. But I am led to believe that Fornals should be available as well.
Good stuff, mate. That's really interesting. I appreciate that. Thanks to you and thanks to Pete. Good team effort there. You like international football, don't you? You're a fan of it.
Yes and no. I'm a fan of it when it's the tournaments. I absolutely love the World Cup, the Euros, if I could get much of it. The Copa America, even the African Nations is interesting if you watch the bigger games in it. So I like tournament football. However, these qualifiers, no, I didn't watch England. I mean, I kind of had it on in the background, but I can't even remember the goals now, really. Because the thing is, the reason it's not so good that you know, the qualifiers, because you just get so many one-sided games, you know, and if England even beating, you know, if England don't beat San Marino, who we've got, is it tonight or tomorrow? Tonight, I think. If England don't beat San Marino by at least 5 goals, then it's a bad result. And it's just, that's just stupid, isn't it? In any football match, really, for it to be that one-sided. You know, I think they should restructure the qualifying campaigns so that the likes of San Marino and the Faroe Islands and Gibraltar and all those teams that are just there to get battered, that maybe they have to have like a pre-qualifying, like what you do with the FA Cup. You know, like the FA Cup, you have the preliminary rounds with, and then eventually some of the smaller teams will make it into the qualifications. I think if you could do that with these nations so that maybe only the top two of the worst 10 or whatever qualify, then these leagues would be a bit more interesting. But yeah, I'm not a massive fan of qualification games, but of tournaments, yes.
Do you think this break is good or bad for West Ham? And it's called an international break. Obviously, a lot of our players ain't getting a break. It's just a break from domestic football in the Premier League. Some of our players are, obviously, but some of them ain't. Do you think it's good or bad timing for us?
It's a bit of a difficult one to answer that, because I can see pros and cons of it either way. It's positive in the sense that players need a rest. Like you say, many of them aren't getting it. But if you take the fact that Declan withdrew, we'll see Declan's getting a rest. Cresswell has played pretty much every game. He needed a rest. You know, Fabianski would have been getting one of those, not so important for a keeper. Johnson would have been getting a rest. You know,
Bowen.
So there's a number of players that needed a rest that'll be getting it, so it's good in that respect, because we've been playing so many games, you know, with the cups, that they needed it. However, those players like Antonio and Souček, for example, that are desperately in need of a rest. You know, Antonio's had to travel to the Caribbean to play his football. He's playing out there. So if anything, it's going to be more strenuous than it would have been if he was left here. So bit of a debate on the fitness side of it. Bad in the sense that we had momentum and we were doing really well. We'd just beaten Liverpool, you know, we'd beaten Spurs, we'd beaten Aston Villa, and we were on a real good run. So then break it up is when things happen. Like if you recall, and I would urge people to listen to our Robbie Slater interview. I know he wasn't the biggest name to ever play for West Ham, certainly not in England anyway, a big name in Australia, but his interview is brilliant. One of the best ones we've done recently, I'd say. And he said, you know, even in that famous Australian game against Iran, when that guy ran on the pitch and broke the goal, even the disruption of like 10 minutes was enough to sort of change their mindset. And you know that with like football, when there's long delays, or even you look at tennis, you know, what was that famous semi-final, wasn't it, where Tim Henman was way up against Ivan Isevich, I think, and then there was rain breaks and stuff, and he ended up throwing it away. So no, a break, like I've always stated, in terms of not changing a winning side and stuff, I always think momentum and forward, you know, runs, like progression, are so important, psychology in football, and having a break now is not good timing for us, really. But I guess there's nothing we could do about it, and we knew it was happening. It's not like it's been suddenly enforced upon us.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, another way to look at it as well is that most other top teams in the Premier League also have international players. So it ain't just West Ham, is it? So,
yeah, no,
you
exactly.
know, you can say that every club is suffering with this, and it's part and parcel of the game, unfortunately.
Yeah.
How much of this break is David Moyes going to be spending with the owners and Rob Newman to concentrate on the transfer window in January? If at all.
Yeah, I think they would sort of started to draw up names. I'll talk about it in my section a bit, but okay. I think they'd start to draw up names now and look at potential options that they can sort of start to get things rolling with. But I would have imagined he would have spent that time getting to know the new owners, getting to know their aims, getting to speak to Rob Newman and what he wants, and also just trying to look through, because he's a big fan of studying the opposition. So just trying to use this bit of a gap to, you know, watch so many games, because we're going to be playing, you know, Wolves, and then we play Vienna, and then we play, is it, who's after that? Man City, is it? I think. And it's just such a quick run of games. Boom, 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 boom. So I think he'll use that time to also study the opposition as well.
Thanks for the booms there, mate, to help us understand your point there. That is very much appreciated.
Good, I'm glad.
We recently spoke about Cresswell and Bowen both earning the right to get a call up on their current form. Who do you think deserves it more out of the two?
Well, that's a good question. That's tricky. I think in terms of positionally, I think Bowen has more competition than Cresswell does, arguably. I think, you know, England's midfield is full of exciting young wingers, creative midfielders, and so on. So where's left back? I know you've got Shaw, you've got Chilwell, you've got a few others that can play there, but I think Cresswell's consistency has put him right in the frame. However, the thing with Cresswell, which he doesn't have, which Bowen has, is age. And I believe that Southgate is so discriminatory against age. So that's why Antonio never got a look in recently. So that actually, probably, if you was to analyse it from Southgate's mind, I'd imagine Bowen is ahead of Cresswell out the two of them.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that, mate. Who do you think is the best and worst international player we've ever had? And by that, I mean overseas player, not necessarily capped by their country.
Wow. So an overseas player, the best and worst overseas players we've had.
Yeah, on the theme of international discussion, yeah.
Well, the best. Do they have to have played for their country? Or do they just have to be foreign? No. Right, okay. Well, I guess the best you can say is Decadio.
Yeah.
You say Tevez, in terms of technical ability, Paye. You know, those three are the ones that spring to mind.
If you had to pick one of the three?
Poor, that's tough. Anatovic, you could argue as well.
Yeah,
Oh, that is tough. I would probably say Di Canio. Just people will argue with me and say that Paye was better because he got shortlisted for Ballon d'Or. Yes, he did. And he was sensational. A lot of his goals were free kicks, which you could argue is if you're good at free kicks, you know, that sort of takes away all-round play because Di Canio was just good at everything. And Paye was good at pretty much everything as well. But I'm trying to make an argument here. Di Canio was... was there for longer. It was more sort of contributed more to West Ham's history. And I think Di Canio, had he been, you know, not Italian, well, they had such good players in the Italian national team in the 90s and had, I think the 90s just had more all-round entertaining players. You think back, they had Ronaldinho, Brazilian Ronaldo, Zidane, Figo, Rui Costa, Nedved, Beckham, Scholes, you know, the list of players, Zidane, I don't know if I said him, the list of players, Jeremy had loads as well, and Holland, you know, Robin and Van Persie, and there's so many players that were so good in the 90s. I think arguably better than they were now. So I think Di Canio's competition was probably higher. So I think I'll go Di Canio just, but then Tevez had an amazing career as well. So very hard. Di Canio certainly for West Ham.
Yeah, he is for me. I mean, he is a legend. And in the discussions of, you know, legends, cult heroes, icons at West Ham, for me, and I know there was questions over his commitment away from home, but I think the emotional attachment I have with Paolo, like every West Ham fan does, just seeing him live and every time I talk about Paolo, the way I describe him is just poetry to watch, and his entertainment, his passion, his ability. I can't see past it. You can make an argument for some of the other players, and you made it well there for Paye, for example, and Tevez obviously went on to have an incredible career and we loved him at West Ham, but he for me is categorically a legend at West Ham, so he would be my best as well.
This Ludo, is where gets... maybe Ludo as well.
So Ludo, Ludo's a good shout. That is a good shout, actually. But this is where it gets a bit tricky, because who are you going to put as your worst?
Oh, mate, there's just hundreds, isn't there? I mean, where does he stop? I mean, literally, I could sit here, I could reel off like 15 now.
I know.
Vladimir the Band, Ragnarveld, Sommer, Rigobert Song, Titi Camara, Bazilla, Cisse, Diawara, Ali Adier, Boogers, that... Paulo Alves, whatever his name was, Razvan Rat, don't remember him, Sasa Ilic, Roberto Cisse, mate, the list is just huge. Really, I mean, where do you stop?
I mean, it is.
Radicchio, Dumitrescu. Yeah. I mean, I think in terms of the worst, you'd have to look at the most like awful career in terms of coming and then fucking it up and then going. So I guess if you're looking at that, you've got to have Roberto up there, you've got to have Boogers, you've got to probably have Radicchio, you know, even though he scored a couple of good goals and was a good player, 2.2 million or whatever he was, and then he left after like half a season or whatever it was. You know, so I think arguably the worst in terms of contributions in as many games negatively for West Ham, it's got to be Roberto, in terms of money spent and outcomes from that player, because Roberto was a free transfer, and the worst is going to be Boogers, I guess, paid £1 million, which at the time was a lot of money for a forward, and then he played a couple of subs appearances and then ran away. So, you know, he's going to be up there as well, you know.
I had to laugh when we spoke to Robbie about him, and he was saying that, you know, given the
the geographical placements of the players. I think he had to car share with him and Stan Lazaridis at times. And he said, just said how much he used to moan. And he used to say, this really made me chuckle in an interview. He said, you know, he used to moan and say, why am I not playing? And then Robbie said, well, mainly because you're shit. I love that. I love Robbie. I'll make you right. The interview was brilliant. He's such a character.
And then what people didn't see brilliant. As well, which was so funny, is that obviously with the time difference, because he's in Sydney and you and I are in Essex, but we had to do it at about 11 o'clock at night, didn't we? Which was about like 8 or 9 in the morning there. So we were like a day behind. So what was like Tuesday for us was Wednesday for him. And he was the first one he did. I don't know where he was or what he was doing, but he was just walking and walking, wasn't he? For about 45 minutes to an hour. And we just got this tour and where he had the camera, he had his phone obviously in his hand. We could just see like his face, like from the bottom upwards, like his nostrils and everything. And then just see him walking around some random place with trees and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just
You texted me saying that you felt sick, didn't you?
I did.
Getting motion sickness. We kept doing circles of his head. I don't think you knew the camera was on. That was the problem.
No, I don't think he did. And you know, all you could see was just these trees like spinning round and round and round and round. By the end of it, I had to stop looking at the camera.
It was like that. But do you know what? Like, in terms of the worst, there are so many, right? But because of the transfer fee, the hype around him when he signed, and just how bad he actually turned out to be, granted, whilst not really playing many games for West Ham, I think Savio has to be up there as well.
Oh, yeah, of course. I forgot about him, of course.
And do you know what, X? This made me revisit what I think is such a mental story. And I think everyone's heard it, right? Everyone's heard it. But let's hear it again, because I don't think you can hear enough of this, right? Now, what's interesting is I always thought the story went that he tried to extort 25 grand from his family. But I actually found another article that tells it slightly differently, right? Which I think makes it even funnier, right? So I'm reading this now, and it says, the 23-year-old called his family from Thailand, telling them his captors were demanding a ransom of 3,000 euros for his safe release, right? Sirecco's concerned family then contacted the country's German embassy, who brought in the police. Suspicious of the rather small ransom demand, the police tracked down Sirecco and arrested him. And they're right to be suspicious, exactly. Aren't they? I mean, if you are actually a career criminal and you are running the risk of prison yourself by capturing someone that's pretty fucking famous, you're going to ask for more than 3 grand.
Well, it's the equivalent of about, because remember, if your conversion rate,
it's 2,400
English pounds. There you go. Yeah, exactly. 2,400. For a player that cost West Ham 10 million, whatever it was at one point.
I know. And it goes on to say, a Thai newspaper revealed Ugandan-born Sirecco, who most recently played for German third division side, SPVGG Unterhaching, but saw his contract terminated after just 3 months, was broke after spending 25,000 euros while holidaying on the Thai coast, and came up with the story in a bid to restock his bank balance. I mean, that's fucking madness, X, isn't it? Some of the mental stories that have come on the back of West Ham is just incredible, whether it's Onmoy in me with the ineligibility. Yeah, of the
speaking
cup,
of which, mate, did you see it on Oimi, that we've been kicked out of the under-23s tournament for doing the same thing?
Oh, have we been kicked out of it? Yeah, I heard that we've done it.
Yeah, fielding an eligible player in that. We've been kicked out of it now. So
how does the player or the manager not know?
I know.
They've made that mistake. I couldn't understand it back then with Manny either.
No, exactly. I mean, that's so ridiculous, isn't it? So we're still doing the same thing. I mean, luckily, it doesn't seem to have got much press recently, but you would have thought that opposition fans would have picked up on that, because obviously we had it with Oimi. There was a period, I think, might have been when we were in the Intertoto Cup and we got into the UEFA Cup via that. I seem to remember we played Stimac or somebody when he was suspended, and then obviously we had the whole Tevez Mascherano stuff, so we got like history of this now. So I'm surprised Moore didn't pick up for it. The fact we were kicked out of it clearly showed they took it seriously, and also all those people are, you know, those players that that have their records eradicated because of those games and things like that. It's just ridiculous. And so we're still doing it. I just looked up Savio just to see where he is on his list of clubs that he's played for. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Considering he's 32, he's played for 17 clubs. Jesus. And he's currently playing for a team called BSC Sindeling. And by clicking on BSC Sindeling, they're in Munich, and they don't have an English like Wikipedia, so I can't really tell you much. I can't even tell you what league they're in because I don't understand what the words are in front of me, but they're clearly not in the top three or four divisions in Germany, I wouldn't have said. And he's still only 32.
That's amazing, isn't it? That is amazing.
Like what a crap career. I mean, in the end, I don't know if you remember when we sold him, we actually exchanged him for Manuel da Costa, who I actually thought was a fairly decent centre-back.
He was, actually.
Mm. Yeah, I thought he was actually all right. One centre-back, like, you know, that you don't really ever hear from or talk about. But I actually thought he was fairly decent at West Ham.
Yeah,
but,
he was good in the air, from memory.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What a strange character that Savio was. I mean, $10 million for him. I mean, like you said, like, kidnapping from your own family. I mean, it's just such a ridiculous thing to do. And then, like, once the police had arrested him and said, like, you know, what the hell, like, that was what are you doing, how does he go for Sunday dinner around his family? He's like, after that, you know. So Savio, we'll try and gloss over the fact that you faked your own kidnapping to get money out of us. How's your week been, you know,
I know
that's a bizarre thing to do, isn't it?
And
like,
really is.
You know, like, your own family, like, surely, I don't know, I can't, like, it's the worst people to target, because, like, why not ask them, you know, if they've got that much money?
Yeah,
say, can I borrow £2,400? Like, either that, or his parents, or whoever he was trying to get the money off, are really stingy and wouldn't lend him any money. But if he turned around and said to him, look, these are my options, I'm either going to fake my own kidnapping and try and get the money off you, or can you lend me £2,400? I'm pretty sure the parents would have gone with the latter option, but
yeah. And also, like, because these kidnappers didn't exist, who were they going to pay?
Yeah. Oh, the bank.
Sorry, I just send it to me, Mum. It's fine. Just the usual. You got my bank details. Just give it to me. It's fine. I got to go. I'm just walking into the casino. I mean, I'm just trying to get out the boot of this car.
Yeah.
Help!
I wonder how he, like, submitted his ransom as well. Because if he was held under hostage, like, how did he do it? Did he, like, email it to him?
Or, like, message in a bottle, I think. It went under the ocean.
Exactly. So, and you know, like, if we did it by hand, he'd have to try and change his handwriting. You know, when you're at school,
with your left hand,
or you're at school and you try to write like a sick note to get out of, like, cross country or something. You know, you'd to forge your homework or something. You know,
yes,
X has done his homework. Love from Mrs. X. Like, you know, how would you get away with it? You just wouldn't. So,
I know. It is just absolute madness. Honestly, it really is. But makes for such a funny story. Yeah. Speaking international, I don't think I did the answer justice when we were asked about another pre-match event in the US. So do you want to give some clarity on that and any specifics you've got for them?
Well, at the moment, I mean, John Black is the sort of, the president or the guru of the West Ham way, American events. And prior to the pandemic, the plan was to be, we've already missed one of them, but then the second one was going to be in the summer in Vegas again. And then obviously that got cancelled, so we moved it back to the Brentford away game. Now, I can't remember when that is, but I know it's in the sort of Easter, it's the Easter weekend, because I think, like, in England, you get the bank holiday off for Easter. But as I said, I don't know what show I said it on, but I don't think Americans get a bank holiday for it. But anyway, it is meant to be that weekend. It is meant to be in Las Vegas again. Well, it is going to be in Las Vegas again. It's not going to be in the same bar, I don't think. I think we're in negotiations to take it actually onto the Las Vegas Strip. And I think it's Planet Hollywood, possibly, or, yeah, one of those sort of well-known chains. I think there's a big West Ham. I think the owner of it is a West Ham fan, so that's the plan, to try and get back out to America. Then we haven't got guest books because we just want to make sure the event's completely finalized, but it does seem like it's going to be happening. And Just watch this space. I mean, John's going to just secure the venue and then we'll just crank up the promotion. And, you know, we need to do it quite soon, really, because obviously it's only 5 months or so away. And we've also got to pray that nothing changes in terms of, you know, traveling to and from America. So, yeah, but that is the plan. And I can't wait. It's an amazing experience. And, you know, anyone, if you're thinking about going to Vegas and you're a West Ham fan or you're an American and you could get out to Vegas, definitely come, because it was brilliant. I mean, last time there was lots of different fan groups represented. I mean, the biggest one, I guess, because of geographical proximity, was the Los Angeles Hammers, and there was loads of them there, loads of them. But we had them from different states across America. You know, there was people from New York there, there was people from Pennsylvania, there was people from all different, actually, is Pennsylvania even in America? So start again. I think Pennsylvania's in Romania. Let me start again.
And then obviously there's Transylvania. Don't forget about that as well.
Wait, no, Pennsylvania.
Those boys were wild.
Yeah, of course, Pennsylvania's in America. No, it is in America. That's where...
you were probably thinking of Transylvania.
I think, Pennsylvania is where the... it's in northeast Pennsylvania, and it's got where I think it's where one of the September 11th, wasn't that where that's where one of their military bases is that got attacked, the Pentagon, isn't that where that is? I think, anyway, not sure without looking at Wikipedia, but yeah, we had them from all over the place. Ohio, I seem to remember as well. Just get involved. It's really, really good laugh, and we'll hopefully be there for maybe a week or so. Let's not do Vegas, and maybe we might see if we can get to LA as well. But the event will be in Vegas, and be well worth going to.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, we have a lot of American listeners, so it'd be great to see you there. But also, you know, West Ham fans in the UK, I can't recommend it enough. I think it'll blow you away. If you go there and you mix with the American West Ham fans and their energy, their enthusiasm, is such a good experience. So we can't wait to go back there. But yeah, we are targeting kind of Easter time, Brentford away, as X said. And watch this space. We'll give you some more concrete details as and when. Well, as it's an international break, let's take this opportunity to let X bask in the glory of currently beating me in the West Ham Way Premier League predictions competition. X is 76th with 1,141 points. And I'm in 88th with 1,115, which means as it stands, there is just 26 points between us, which I find incredible, actually, because I think when we've now kind of lost the non-payers, I think we're down to about 400 players now, I think, in this game. So, you know, for there to be just 26 points between us is actually quite incredible. But the gap is closing, mate. Are you feeling the pressure?
Well, it's been a bit weird because, like, every week for, like, the last maybe 4 or 5 weeks, you've got a slightly better than me.
Yeah, that's true.
But, like, only by, like, 5, 6, 7 points.
Yeah.
So it's been chipping away at my lead, but never quite getting you over the line to actually overtake me. But,
well, you had that monster week, didn't you? If you remember, I can't remember your tally, but you smashed it 1 week.
Yeah, I think I came second in the whole game. I think.
Yeah, I think you did actually, and I've been playing catch up since then, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's ridiculously close. I mean, it's literally one result wrong that could switch it, which is, and what was annoying is that the best one good thing I've got over you is your lack of organization. So you, so you forget Fridays every single time there's a Friday game. And every week it'd be really good because I think for two of the Fridays I'd called the result spot on. So that gave me a 100 point total over you. But then this last Friday one, I actually got, it was so annoying. I think it was Southampton Wolves maybe, or Southampton be someone, and Southampton won 1-0, and I had it as 1-0, then I changed it last minute to 1-1, and so obviously I got minus points for that and you got 0 because you didn't predict it, and that was really annoying. I changed it because that would have been another 50 points ahead, but yeah, it's just the swing of results, isn't it? Like, just one game and it's over, which is annoying. But both of us are doing well. It's not like we're right at the bottom and we're 26 points apart. We're both at the top end of the league table. But
Do you know what, though? It's weird for me because the last 2 years, I've consistently been in front, pissed it at times, actually. And it was getting, it was getting a bit boring, to be honest. And and do you know what? Actually, you probably don't know, but when you're constantly beating your mate at something, firstly, you sort of hope they get back on top for a while for the sake of their own self-esteem. But I'm also enjoying the chase at the moment.
Bollocks.
And I think the pressure sits with you, mate, really.
The whole of that script you just said is absolute bollocks. I'm going to pick apart about three or four things I said. First of all, is you've never been pissing it. If anyone, actually, in the last one, because you called it off with 4 weeks to go. If the four
no,
weeks
the up, competition fucking called it off and I stopped playing.
Yeah, if you'd carried on playing, I smashed those last 4 weeks, so they've been close. Second of all, you don't have any sympathy for me not winning. You would love it if you were like 4,000 points ahead, so don't give me that. And
I think that's a bit slanderous.
I can't even remember what the other points were, but they're all rubbish anyway.
Well, let's look at the top five as it stands, because it's about time we got an update. So at J. Sayward Jones, who is a constant in this competition, by the way, and has been for like the last 2 years we've been doing it, he's now at the top with 1,190 points. In second place, and just 1 point, X, 1 point behind top spot, is at -B2669 with 1,189 points. In third is Nigel de Zoomen with 1,185. And in fourth is Hammer Time FC with 1,175. And in fifth place is at BillyRich83 with 1,174. Right. Okay, let's get the latest from the man in the know. X is the man in the know. He keeps you informed on rain or snow. His opinion is in demand. There ain't another ITK that I can stand. To listen to the rest of this podcast, you need to be a patron of the West Ham Way. Becoming a patron couldn't be easier. Just visit patreon.com/the West Ham Way and confirm your subscription to get full access to the West Ham Way podcast, our second weekly show called the West Ham Way podcast Extra Time, classic clips of audio and video interviews, exclusive news from X, match day team news before anyone else, an exclusive forum, live Q&As with myself and X, monthly prize draws, discounts on events and merchandise, and behind the scenes content, all of which for just £5 a month.
The is it morning yet deal. How about now? Or now? Because morning time is McDonald's breakfast time. And that's the best time of all the times.
Wake up with a little splash of sweetness. Get any size iced coffee from caramel to hazelnut to French vanilla for just 99 cents until 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Geico presents Daily Affirmations.
Repeat after me. Our thoughts are like the ocean.
Our thoughts are like the ocean.
Our thoughts create our reality.
Our thoughts create our reality.
We're thinking Geico offers claim service 24/7 with personalized attention from an assigned team.
Geico offers claim service? I wasn't thinking that.
We think it and it becomes our reality.
So, what about washboard abs?
Let's give it a go. Think really hard.
Okay, abs.
Yep, keep thinking.
To manifest more Geico in your life, go to geico.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.